Today on Jay Sekulow Live, the president has gathered congressional leaders in the Situation Room for a border security briefing later today.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The big meeting at the White House today. Congressional leaders from both parties have been invited to attend a briefing on border security one day before Democrats take control of the House.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Tomorrow, the new Congress takes over, and that's one in which Democrats control the House. Democratic leaders say they will vote tomorrow on two bills. One would fund the agencies and departments that are closed through September 30th, except for the Department of Homeland Security. A second bill would fund DHS through February 8th, and that essentially allows for more negotiations on this issue.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. I hope you had a great and happy new year. As we begin the new year on the broadcast, Than Bennett joining us in Washington, D.C. We'll have a full team with us today on the broadcast as well to break down everything involving the shutdown as it enters day 12, but also the transfer of power that will be going on in the House of Representatives tomorrow. Tomorrow is when new members of Congress are sworn in. We're going to go through the new members of Congress, both in the Senate. It's too many in the House to go through by name, but in the Senate, we'll go through those who will be new names, some already making a bit of a name for themselves, like Mitt Romney, who is joining the U.S. Senate from Utah, and we'll walk through some others as well. So some new names that you'll start hearing, especially in the U.S. Senate, both on the Republican and a couple of new names on the Democrat side as well. The House makeup will be tomorrow, as of tomorrow, 235 Democrats, 199 Republicans. That's plus 40 for the Democrats. There's still one race that's outstanding that a Republican won, but is not being seated out of North Carolina because of some election irregularities there. The big meeting today is in the Situation Room, which is in the National Security Room, secure room of the White House, bringing together congressional leaders, Than, from both sides of the aisle for a special border security briefing. And what I feel is a final effort for this White House to make it clear that, one, we're not going to accept any kind of continuing funding, any kind of continuing resolutions that don't tackle border security. And they're making the point that this is a national security threat by having it in the Situation Room and not in the White House or another room.
Yeah, eight congressional leaders, Jordan, two Republicans, two Democrats from each the House and the Senate. And I agree with you. I think the location of this shows you exactly what's going to happen. This is not going to be an Oval Office or another White House room a meeting for the cameras. Jordan, what's going to happen is these leaders are going to be shown security footage from the border. I'm convinced of it, as well as some other classified information documenting just how serious the border security issue is, and impressing, I think, on especially the new incoming House Democrat leadership that, look, this is not a political issue. This is a security issue for the United States of America. We can find a deal that makes it look like everyone got something, that nobody lost something. But the bottom line is, this is a security issue that has to be dealt with. And Jordan, the two bills, I know we're going to go through them, but the two bills that have been introduced do not address that threat. But I will tell you this. I think there is a foundation from which, in these two bills, the president can get what he needs for the next 2 months. So I'm hopeful that this meeting today, after he shows them that footage, they will be able to move towards progress.
And progress is, at this point now, in the 12th day of a partial shutdown, it can go on and on. I want to take your phone calls to this, 1-800-684-3110. Are you at all concerned about this shutdown? Do you believe the president should just remain firm on his commitment to border security and building the wall, the slates, whatever you want to call them? Should he remain firm, or are you starting to get nervous about the shutdown entering day 12 with Democrats taking over the House of Representatives? We're all back to work. I know you are too. Taking your phone calls live, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Can Congress send something to the president that he is willing to sign? And are you willing to stand with the president through this continued partial government shutdown? 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. Let me also thank so many of you, the thousands upon thousands of you that donated to the ACLJ in the final days of December. It was very important, very key. Thank you so much for your financial contributions so we can fight hard into 2019. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. The president has called for 8 top congressional leaders to meet with him and top officials for a private briefing in the White House. This is, again, in the Situation Room, which is a secure room that is used for national security, but specifically on border security, whereas we believe that these members of the House and the Senate, bipartisan, will receive classified information. They'll get to see live updates from the border, the real national security threat that this border's open border poses to the U.S., not just because of illegal immigrants coming through who want to better their economic situation with their families, but the drugs that come through, the human trafficking that comes through, the potential for terrorists to come through, and bad actors, gang members, that kind of thing, they will be shown that information. On top of that, then, we've got a lot of new senators to go through in both Republican and the Democrat side. Let's start going through some of those now.
Yeah, sure, Jordan. I mean, we talked about the margins in the Senate, and the Republicans had 51 senators before this year. They had a +2 in the elections, which means they have 53 senators now. But there are actually 8 new Republican senators, Jordan, not just the 2 that we talk about, because there were 6 senators that were elected in seats that were held by Republicans before. So if you want to quickly go through the list, I'll give you the 8 new Republican senators. You have Rick Scott in Florida, Mike Braun in Indiana, Josh Hawley in Missouri, Cindy Hyde-Smith in Mississippi, who obviously served a couple of months at the end of the last session, Kevin Cramer in North Dakota, Marsha Blackburn in Tennessee, Mitt Romney in Utah, and Martha McSally in Arizona, who's been appointed to fill the McCain seat, which was temporarily filled by John Kyle, who stepped down. And then, Jordan, on the Democrat side of the aisle, 2 new senators in the seats that were flipped from Republican to Democrat, Kyrsten Sinema in Arizona and Jackie Rose in Nevada. So you think about the United States Senate, 100 senators, 10 of them, Jordan, are brand new. So a lot of turnover in the Senate, even though the party ratio only flipped by 2.
And you go through, there's some strong personalities there. I mean, obviously, Mitt Romney. Romney, as a former Republican presidential candidate, is already kind of making his statement. Is he going to be kind of the Jeff Flake type? We will see. I hope not. Knowing Mitt, I hope that that's not the path that he chooses. Marsha Blackburn is coming, very well known out of the House of Representatives, so into the Senate. She's a regular in the media, and she will continue to be so. And then Rick Scott, the very well-known governor of Florida. So you've got some heavy hitters coming in into the U.S. Senate already. On that Martha McSally seat where she lost to Kyrsten Sinema, how long does she have left in that McCain seat?
That seat is up in 2022 again. I think she's being appointed to fill the rest of it. I'd have to double-check that, Jordan, whether or not Arizona law requires a new election in 2020. I'm not sure, but the regular election for that McCain seat is not until 2022.
Yeah, so, this is, again, so the makeup of the Senate right now, 53 Republicans, 47 Democrats. They will all be sworn in, both the Senate and the House, tomorrow. So there will be a bit of a more of a buffer of conservatives in the U.S. Senate. And in the House of Representatives, of course, it's expected that Nancy Pelosi will once again be Speaker of the House. Paul Ryan has retired and will not be part of the House of Representatives. Let's go right to the phones. Interesting call. Donna calling in from Texas. We're asking people, are they willing to stand with President Trump? Day 12 of the shutdown, as the Republican leadership has said, they are not. The Senate is not going to send something to the president that he won't sign. That's the spokesperson for Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. So all these plans that the president has said, I'm not going to sign, they're not even going to put on the table. But I want to go to Donna's call in Texas on line 3. Donna, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you, and thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to let you know that my husband and I, we stand behind President Trump, even though it is difficult for us with my husband being retired from DHS and, you know, hoping to have money today and not, you know. But we have always prayed for the president and for his wisdom. And we believe that the decisions he's made and he is standing firm on now with the border wall is very wise decision. And it's good for our nation. So I think that goes even beyond financial distress, maybe, you know.
Yeah. Donna, I think it's very brave of you and patriotic of you to say that you stand with the president on this wall. You believe in it that much that even though you'd usually have gotten the paycheck today from your husband's retirement from the Department of Homeland Security, like you normally would, though that'll come eventually after the shutdown, that you still remain standing with the president. We have John on Facebook who writes, and I work for the government, and I'm all in for the shutdown until he can acquire money for the wall. That's the president and comprehensive immigration reform. Nathan, we're hearing this time and time again. The issue is that this message is not getting to congressional Democrats. I mean, they are all still resist this wall, resist the national security funding for the border wall and for border security. Maybe the briefing today changes some minds, moves that needle to where we're talking about, you know, another $1 billion added to the funding, so where the president can at least walk away with a $2.5 or $3 billion for funding instead of really no new funding.
Well, I sure hope so, Jordan. I mean, first of all, a couple of things. One, I think across most of America, this partial shutdown of part of the government has not been felt by many. Certainly the caller and many in this area, Jordan, are not in that boat. I'm not unsympathetic to the people who are going to have to go a little bit longer before that paycheck. Now, they will be paid back. They always are. It's more of a furlough. That back pay comes back in. But I think most of the American people haven't really noticed the shutdown. And I think the caller represents an increasing number of people inside the Department of Homeland Security who know that this is the opportunity to make a change in the status quo. I do hope the briefing today changes congressional Democrats' mind that something has to be done. And Jordan, again, I think there's a way to make this happen where the president gets more authorization with a smaller amount of money with the Democrats understanding that come February 8th, he's going to need more. But they have to understand that the American people elected him every bit as much as they elected Democrats to run the House of Representatives. And there has to be a middle ground here that secures the border. The Democrats can't get everything they want when they only control one chamber in this town. Jordan, if they take a look at that security footage today and continue to dig in, I think the president will stand strong, and I think he will carry on until he gets the funding that he needs.
Back to the phones we go. Roberta in Colorado on line one. Roberta, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
I stand with the president wholeheartedly. I pray for the president. My church prays for the president. And I hope he seeks godly counsel, but I stand with him for the $5 billion.
You know, I think that that is what we're hearing today, even after the holidays, so after Christmas, the shutdown, after the New Year's Eve and this partial shutdown. And now we all know that Democrats will be taking control of the House of Representatives tomorrow, that the core, the base out there, And I want to hear from of a majority, you know, as many different opinions as I can on this, especially for people who do work for the government, the 800,000 who may be affected by this shutdown. Are you willing, again, for the president to continue this partial shutdown as he fights to receive the funding for border security, which includes funding to build the wall? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's take another phone call. Let's go to Ray in Colorado on line two. Ray, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
How you doing?
Ray.
Hello? Am I on?
You're on the air.
Okay. I'm just saying I'm all for President Trump and what he's doing. And I and many others don't believe he should accept a penny less. That $5 billion is a drop in the bucket. If you look at the facts on what we spend on illegal aliens every year, we spend way more than that, and border security is crucial. I myself served 22-plus years in the military. I did 3 combat tours in Iraq, and all my friends and buddies who served over there, if we don't get that border security, it would be a slap in our faces.
No, I agree with you, Ray, 100%. I think that, listen, the president has committed to remain strong. Than also the Republican Senate has said, we're not going to send the president something he's not going to sign. So the truth is, Than, when we're talking about this, it's Democrats in the House who are going to have to come. If they don't want a continued shutdown, and they love funding the government, if they don't want a continued shutdown, they're going to have to come to some kind of agreement here. And that will be, I don't know if it'll be $5 billion, but it'll be probably need to be somewhere in the range of $2.5 to $3
billion. Yeah, I mean, House Democrats tried this, are trying to put Senate Republicans in a box because Senate Republicans passed this, but then the president told Senate Republicans, so it's not just Democrats, the president told Senate Republicans and Democrats, I am not going to sign anything unless it has funding for the wall, and Senate Republicans said, okay, we won't send you another bill unless it has that. Jordan, yes, either the number needs to go up, or there has to be an agreement that the existing 1.6 can be used in this 5-week period, and then the rest of it is going to come in the next tranche. Something like that, Jordan. It can't just be what was happened in the past. The president's not going to go along with that, and Senate Republicans won't go along with that.
Yeah, in the next segment, too, I'm going to talk to Than about how our team in Washington is preparing for the new Congress, the new makeup of the House, and also the new senators that are coming in as well and connecting with those offices. Again, let me thank you, so many of you, thousands upon thousands of you that donated in those final days to the ACLJ. You made 2018 a great year for us, and we're ready to go in 2019. Thank you.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
it's interesting. Delia writes in on Facebook. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. What is exactly the point of going through all of this over again in 30 days? Why do Democrats think anything will change in that time? Than nothing will change in that time. The president is so committed to border security. I mean, this is his one of his single most important campaign promises that he is going to fight and fight on until the next election cycle and until as so long as he can fight to get that wall built, or if you want to call them steel slates or whatever you want to call it. He will continue to fight, and he's not going to support legislation that does nothing for it. I would say that does absolutely zero. He might compromise on some funding levels, yep, but he's not going to support legislation that does nothing to get him to that point.
Yeah, I love our listeners, Jordan. I mean, when it was Senate Republicans just a few weeks ago wanting to do the same exact thing, we had the same callers calling in and say nothing will change 5 weeks from now. Now that it's the House Democrats that want to kick the can down the road, we have callers calling in and saying it won't change anything in 5 weeks. And they're absolutely correct, Jordan. Look, I think there's two ways out of this impasse on the wall. Either one, it's an increased number for wall funding that can be used for a new structure that can then be revisited whenever the next time happens. And there will be a compromise. The president has already said he's willing to negotiate on that. Or there has to be new authorization that some of the existing money can be used for new wall structure, and that over the course of the rest of the fiscal year, maybe the rest of the $5 billion can be appropriated. But Jordan, those are really two of very similar scenarios in which the wall actually does get funded in fiscal year 2019. And anything short of that, the president's going to continue to go to the mat for. And again, we've said it on this broadcast many times, but what is the point of funding the Department of Homeland Security if the number one need that the president has articulated, which is a physical structure on the border, is not included in that funding? The president has said he doesn't see a need to open the Department of Homeland Security without it, and I think the American people, by and large, agree with him.
You know, we'll continue to take phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. I did want to play this from Senator Lindsey Graham. It's something that's not really been yet on the table yet from the Democrats, which is interesting. Maybe it's just because they just do not want to fund this wall whatsoever, but I think he's got a great idea on this. Bite 8.
President Trump is not going to walk away from this fight without border security funding, money for the wall, for lack of a better way of saying it. And Democrats have a chance here to work with me and others, including the president, to bring legal status to people who have very uncertain lives. I'm not asking anybody to do something new. I'm just asking people to sit down and rearrange the deal that was offered before.
You know, again, I think that deal, Than, that when you talk about DACA, the deferred action and making that a pathway, could be something that really gets bipartisan support. But Nancy Pelosi's got to get behind it. She's got to allow Democrats to get behind it. She's got new Democrats, too, who are more radically left. But even they, I think, want to get behind that. So is that something that we could potentially see come up, or is that too long term in this kind of shutdown scenario?
I think it could be on the table, Jordan. I mean, look, it's what the Democrats used to want for money for border security, is some sort of solution to the DACA scenario. And the President Trump has been open to that. In fact, he offered more than what Democrats had been asking for in previous Congresses. I think the president would be willing to put all of that on the table. I'll make a little prediction for you, though, Jordan. If there is any movement either on the DACA front or on the wall funding front, I don't think you're going to see Nancy Pelosi admit that today. Even if at the White House today, she gives a signal to the president that maybe they'll be able to move on that, I think she wants to do two things. I think number one, she wants to secure her speakership tomorrow because she actually has to take that vote on the floor of the House before these votes take place. And then, Jordan, I think number two, for political reasons, I think she wants to pass these two bills out before she really engages in real negotiations with the president. I don't think that is the statesmanlike thing to do. I think we have a border security crisis right now, and she has a duty to the American people to engage. But I don't think you're going to see movement from her, whether it's DACA or wall funding or any of the rest, until at least tomorrow after these bills move out of the House.
As President Trump tweeted yesterday, border security and the wall, quote, thing and shutdown is not where Nancy Pelosi wanted to start her tenure as Speaker. Let's make a deal. Question mark. I mean, so again, he's bringing in congressional leaders this afternoon for a very special briefing in the Situation Room on border security. So not in front of cameras, be classified information, national security information on why securing the border is so important to this administration. Back to the phones we go. Lee is calling in from Texas on line 3. Lee, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Yes, I just want to say I'm 100% behind President Trump. I was working before he got elected. We need to have the wall built, $5 billion, and we shouldn't back off. And the Democrats were that some time back, and so I hope he stands his ground.
You know, he stood his ground for 12 days. He didn't leave Washington, D.C. Nancy Pelosi was off on vacation in Hawaii. So that's fine. Lots of Americans were, he said, enjoy your New Year's and your New Year's parties. I'm going to be here at the White House waiting to work through this. And he has been. And again, now Congress is coming back. They'll be in a meeting this afternoon. New members will swear in tomorrow. Let me talk to Than about that, too. And give us a call. We got a couple lines open, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, we have a second half hour coming up. So 1-800-684-3110. The question is, as Nancy Pelosi becomes Speaker of the House tomorrow and Democrats take control of the House of Representatives, do you stand with President Trump to continue the potential for this partial government shutdown until he gets the amount he's satisfied with for border security? Do you stand with the president, even if you're a government worker? I mean, I want to know if you're someone who hasn't gotten their paycheck. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Then tell people how our government affairs team is preparing to deal with the new members of Congress, both on the Republican side. You know, some of these are names we know well. I worked for Mitt Romney in the past. Marsha Blackburn we know well. Rick Scott out of Florida. Others, though, we have not worked with as closely on the Republican side.
Yeah, and there are going to be dozens on both the Republican and Democrat side in the House, Jordan. And you know, just kind of a peek behind the curtain here, if you will, even for the members of the senators and the members that we know, Jordan, they're going to be bringing mostly new staffs to Washington, D.C. that our team here at the ACLJ is going to need to get to know. A lot of times what happens is these members will bring one or two senior folks from the campaign and maybe a couple junior folks as well. But then they also acquire senior people, legislative people from Washington, D.C. Jordan, those are people that we probably do have a relationship with. So along with having a relationship with the elected official, we will have a relationship that exists with members of their staff, and then we'll have to get to know the new ones as well. And our goal here will be to take the priorities of the ACLJ, which will overlap in many ways with most of these members, and put it in front of them and then work with them on ways that we can advance them. So, you know, January and February might seem like a getting their feet under you period for the elected officials. For us here at the ACLJ, it's actually a very active time because we've got a lot of those new relationships to either rekindle or to build from the ground up.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I'm assuming, Than, that our government affairs team then will be reaching out, trying to figure out who's hired those staff that we do have the relationship with to build those relationships so we can get the right information, as you said, right off the bat, right as we start working our years very quickly and get it right into the hands of these are U.S. senators we're talking about, well-qualified to get running right as they get sworn in.
Yeah, and we know some of those people that can help with that, Jordan. So it's also connecting them with people on the ground who might be interested in helping them get their office off the ground. So absolutely, we play a role in that, a connecting role. And then once those staffs are in place, we're here to provide the assistance that they need.
Again, just another function of the ACLJ's Government Affairs Office in these important transitions of power in the House and the Senate. We continue to take your phone calls. Second half hour coming up, 1-800-684-3110. We'll get into more analysis again. A huge thank you to the thousands of you who donated those final days of the year to the American Center for Law and Justice. I can't thank you enough. A great start to 2020.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Tomorrow, the new Congress takes over, and that's one in which Democrats control the House. Democratic leaders say they will vote tomorrow on two bills. One would fund the agencies and departments that are closed through September 30th, except for the Department of Homeland Security. A second bill would fund DHS through February 8th, and that essentially allows for more negotiations on this issue.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to the second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett from our government affairs team in Washington, D.C., our director of government affairs, is joining me. In a couple of minutes, we'll have some more policy team members joining me in the studio as well to break all of this down for you. What's most important today is this. The shutdown continues, and the president has called for a briefing in the Situation Room with the top congressional leaders. That's eight leaders, the top two from each party in the House and the Senate. So four and four, eight, and on border security. They will be then likely viewing classified information, national security information about why it is so important to this administration to secure the border. That it's not just about keeping out families who want to improve their economic situation. That it is about the drugs. That it is about the human trafficking, both the sexual side of the human trafficking, which is just so horrendous, but also the slavery side of human trafficking that is just horrendous as well. The drugs, the cartels, the ability to get goods in across the United States, illegal goods, and of course the national security threat posed by terrorists who still want to strike the U.S. as we are the number one target for terrorism. Our law enforcement does a great job at protecting us, but we are still the number one target in the world for Islamic terror, and we have this porous border. So that briefing will be happening later today. It's bipartisan. Second, we have these two pieces of continuing resolutions than being offered by Democrats. Let's walk people through what Democrats are offering the president and how Mitch McConnell has already responded.
So they're going to put forward two bills, Jordan, in an effort to open the government back up. The first one is going to deal with the six appropriation bills that aren't Department of Homeland Security that did not get funded. Those were going to be bills that would keep the same funding level through the entire rest of the fiscal year, so through September 30th. That will be bill number one. The second bill will be a continuing resolution for the Department of Homeland Security that will be just existing funding levels and no new funding for new wall construction, Jordan. Now, you're going to see a couple of figures in this, $1.3 billion for border fencing and repair, and another $300 million for other border security items. That is existing authorization money, Jordan. But as drafted, it would not authorize the Department of Homeland Security to construct any new wall. So essentially, it's $0 for new wall funding for President Trump. That is not going to be something that the president will go for. Senate Republicans, Mitch McConnell, have already said they're not even going to take it up unless the president is willing to sign it. And Jordan, that really brings us to today, which is why President Trump invited these eight congressional leaders down to the Situation Room. Here's the message that I think they're going to hear from President Trump and his national security team today. I think they're going to hear the message of the campaigning is over, Jordan. It is now time to govern. And here is what we are dealing with. Here are the drug traffickers that are crossing. Here are the human traffickers that are crossing. Here are the gang members that are crossing. And it is up to us, the nine of us in this room, to make sure that we address this problem. You've had your campaign wins. I've had mine. Now it's time to secure the border. And Jordan, I do think there is a scenario where if they come to the table and want to govern, everyone can come away feeling like they got a piece of the pie, something, you know, in between what the two numbers are, but specifically authorizing the president to construct new wall. That is going to be the key. We're not there yet. And so far, Nancy Pelosi has not indicated an ability to move. But I'll tell you who else I don't believe is going to move. I don't think President Trump is going to move, Jordan. I think he is committed to making sure that this border barrier is constructed.
You know what we haven't announced yet? Elizabeth Warren's exploratory committee. What a video. Let me just say, what a video. What an incredible response by President Trump. I think when asked, can you win in 2020? He said, I don't know. You'll have to ask your psychiatrist. I mean, it's too much. So you got to have a little fun right at the beginning of the new year. It was a very bizarre way to announce an exploratory committee. But again, a little fun there. A lot of phone calls coming up. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So we had a little fun with Elizabeth Warren's announcement, but we're going to get back to the seriousness of the 12th day of the government shutdown. We have people that disagree with us as well. I want to go to one of those calls right off the top of the bat. Carl in California on line 6. Carl, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
My question is, why is the American budget held in hostage when the campaign promise was that Mexico would pay for the wall?
Well, as the president said, through the renegotiation of NAFTA, the money saved there, and since Mexico has paid for the wall with the concessions they have made to our trade deals, and that is how Mexico will be paying for the wall, is through new trade deals. I actually go to Harry Hutchinson right off the top of the bat. Harry, the president's been very clear about that. It's not that Mexico was going to write a check for $25 billion. It was that we were going to renegotiate NAFTA. That's been done. And through those renegotiations, we would be saving the American economy billions of dollars. That has been done. I mean, I'm sure we've saved now through this new negotiations much more than $5 billion and probably the full $25 billion over years.
Absolutely. And also, if you think about the creation of a border wall, essentially it's a one-time capital improvement.
Yeah.
And certainly you will have to maintain it, but you will not have to spend $25 billion every single year or every 5 years. And so I think it's very, very important to focus on the real issue, which is the national security implications associated with the wall, and ask this question to all Americans. Are they supportive of national security, border security, particularly since new evidence suggests, and it's clear and unmistakable evidence, that terrorists are attempting to smuggle their way across the American border. We also have huge problems with drug trafficking, human trafficking, and other issues which adversely impact the U.S. economy. And hence, if we can reduce those types of activities, we will save tens of billions of dollars long term.
We've got calls in, too, on this potential, like if you threw DACA into a deal like this, getting in the funding. Rob in Los Angeles in California on line 4. Rob, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, guys. Yeah, you know what? If he wants to throw in DACA, I'm okay with that, but I would ask for all $25 billion if he's going to throw DACA in. And you know what? Just a little thing about the last caller. It's like all the social services we spend on these people would be saved with that $25 billion for the wall. We'd save 100 $1 million a year, I think.
I'm sure. Probably so, just in California alone with the social services you all provide in your state to illegal immigrants. And again, it would then make a more, as we've said, I want to go to Wes Smith on this, a retired Colonel Wes Smith, a humanitarian process, because people would be getting in. Those who would be getting in legally would be getting all those safeguards of the U.S. Government, all the social services, but there wouldn't be the drain on the social services. We wouldn't have children dying.
Right.
And I think the reason why we are having those situations occur is because the Border Patrol agents are not, it's not their job to take care of kids. Mm-hmm. And they're not doctors. And we you know, that is, it kind of shows you that there is this crisis there.
There is. It's a national security issue, Jordan. It's also a moral issue. You know, if we had a really secure wall, it would allow us to take personnel and other resources, put them at the legal ports of entry, and for that matter, even increase the number of legal ports of entry so that we could more expeditiously process people who are trying to come here either claiming asylum or who are coming here to work. We have so many resources along the border patrolling 24/7 this open and porous border. If we had a wall, it's not a panacea, it's not the only part of the answer, but if we had that, it would allow us to transfer some of those resources to help people who are really trying to get into the country. But it's a national security issue and a moral issue. Harry mentioned the human trafficking. Every year, thousands of people are brought across the border. We only catch some of them, who are bringing people here either into forced labor situations or into the sex trade. Most of those who are caught coming into the country with a trafficker for the sex trade are minors. Yeah. These are the ones that we catch. And in almost every instance, a sex trafficker, for that matter, most drug cartel operatives, they are not going to try and go through a legal port of entry. They're driving or walking across an open border. So that's the moral aspect of it. I have, you know, granddaughters the age of some of these prostitutes being brought from Central and South America into America in the sex trade. But it's also national security. Our enemies and our adversaries, they watch these arguments. They know what's going on. Every year, Jordan, hundreds of people who are caught, we don't know about the ones we don't catch, that come across the border illegally are not from Central and South America. They're from Africa and the Middle East. And, you know, after 9/11, one of the reports that came out from the 9/11 Commission was that what we had in America prior to 9/11 was a failure of imagination. We could not imagine the lengths that our enemies would go to try and attack America. Yeah. After that, we went into react mode, as we should. But at this point, we don't know all who are coming across the border. We don't know where our adversaries are. And if you know, someone crosses the border and a major attack is launched, or a dirty nuclear weapon or something like that, you'll see our politicians go into react mode. But it would be a shame that people have to die before we take border security seriously and realize it's a moral issue. It's also a national security issue.
I'd say more people have to die. We've had border agents killed, people killed by police officers who became U.S. citizens, killed by illegal immigrants just this past few days. I mean, I think that, again, people are dying because of the lack of border security. And as you're talking about, Wes, is a mass event before people take it seriously. And we should not have to get there. I think line one with Steve's call is a great one for Than. Steve in Georgia on line one, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. I tell you what, you remind me of an incident when I was in the Border Patrol in Nogales, Arizona, of an 80-year-old woman who had crossed the border at night with a group and fell off a cliff and died. If you had one of these prototype walls like I've seen on the Internet, she would have never attempted it, and toddlers would have never tried it. But here's my question. If Trump and the Democrats were able, President Trump and the Democrats were able to compromise to $2.5 billion, if there were another budget battle a year from now, would he get another $2.5 billion? And one other question, I hate to do this to you, but if he does, if they do include the DACA, would DACA be on the same path to become a citizen as everybody else, or would there be specific requirements that would be different from the regular program?
So DACA was deferred action, so you'd have to then codify this into something different. It would be different than just what DACA was. DACA was a temporary, it's supposed to be temporary, deferred action. So there would be a pathway of some sorts. But then the real issue there is there's no guarantee with these resolutions that you're going to get another dime in the next resolution, especially when the Democrats control the House.
Yeah, again, I love our callers. You're right. There's no guarantee. But, Jordan, the calculations do change if you're only talking about a five-week continuing resolution opposed to the full year. And that's really what we've been talking about through the whole show. You know, the president wants $25 billion over 5 years. That's why he wants $5 billion for 1 year. But look, if it's going to be a five-week continuing resolution, the prorated amount for that is only about $500 million. The key would be, Jordan, is he allowed to use whatever that number is to actually build new wall? Because what the Democrats have put forward, they want to say, look, we're willing to give you some money, but you can't build new wall with it. And what the president has said is, I'll take a lower number, but you have to give me the authorizations I would need. So to answer Steve's question, succinctly, if he were to be given $1.5 billion for 5 weeks, let's say, and he could build new wall with it, Jordan, I think he would take that and he would come back on February 8th and expect more to sign a new bill. That is not what's been offered at this point, though.
And at this point, Jordan, the Democrats seem more intent on denying the president a win than they are dealing with the seriousness of this issue. I was looking back through some records today. In 2013, a bill passed the Senate. The House refused to take it up.
Yeah.
But a bill passed the Senate in which $40 billion was allocated for border security. And guess what? All 54 Democrats voted for that bill.
Yeah.
So the duplicity is pretty stark.
Yeah, and Harry, financially, this debate has nothing to do with the impact on our U.S. economy.
Absolutely not. And so if you look at $5 billion, or if you look at the entire amount, $25 billion, as a percent of the 2019 federal budget, the projected budget, it's a small fraction, less than half of a percent for the entire $25 billion. So it's not about the money. It's about ideology, and it's about pure politics. And I think this applies to even the possibility of including a DACA proposal as part of border security.
You know, in 2019, quite a lot of battles to begin the year with, including the funding for the government, border security, the potential for DACA. That's why we are here with you on Jay Sekulow Live. Again, a big thank you to so many of you who donated to the Americans Center for Law and Justice in the final days of the year, throughout the entire year. For those of you who donated those final days of the year, we said it was the most important days. It is. They were. And I want to thank you for that. We're starting off 2019 financially very strong because of all of you. So thank you for that. We come back. We take all of your phone calls in our final segment. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Check out aclj.org. A lot of new.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
were playing a bit of the Jay Sekulow Band in that break for our Facebook and Periscope audience. They're going to be playing a concert in Midland, Texas on January 29th. Sure, we can get you more information before that, but if you're in the area, it's not a band that's regularly on tour, and you may have seen the live concert they did heading into the new year on the Facebook. So if you're in that Midland area, January 29th, we'll get more information out as we get closer. I did want to let you know, on ACLJ.org, we're doing a lot of year-end and review blogs and pieces up in the final couple weeks of the year about victories you might not have noted or seen, just to kind of remind you about all the work the ACLJ had done over the year. The page is now kind of re-updating for fights that are emerging right now. We just posted a piece up about a case out of the European Court of Human Rights in Europe, what emerges from the Mala Sala versus Greece judgment, which is a case about Sharia law's place in Europe. That is very interesting. And the European Center for Law and Justice is involved. That's a piece by Gregor Popinic, our director at the European Center for Law and Justice in Strasbourg, France. A new piece up yesterday by Than Bennett on the U.S. standing with Israel and opposing the use of human shields by groups like Hamas and Hezbollah. And each day we're doing a radio recap as well, a blog that also has some video clips in it that you can share with your friends and family. So if I'm hosting, it'll be coming from me. If my dad's hosting, it'll be coming from him. But it'll be a radio recap that goes up a couple hours after the show is finished, so you can share kind of a mini show version of what the kind of bullet points we hit. That is all up at ACLJ.org and will be coming up today as well. We had another victory over the holidays too. Some of you may have catched it, but just a few days ago, a big victory out of Bulgaria. We were contacted by a group in Sofia, Bulgaria. A big victory there for the Evangelical Church as well. That's all up on the homepage at ACLJ.org. So that is starting to be updated again with breaking and new information about what the ACLJ is working on. Let me go right to the phones. I know Raj has been holding on in Virginia. Raj, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank the Lord, His faithfulness. I'm so glad these needs have been met. Mandate that you go forth in strength. And pleased to hear about Bulgaria and all these other things. But coming to the point, no DACA, no immigration reform. Existing laws have to be enforced. The border wall is, what is it doing about the sanctuary cities? We have crime in Maryland, crime in MS-13 gangs in Fairfax. And all these have been allowed by these various, I mean, we've had a heart for these people. But look at the people who are suffering. Families, yeah. Children, and trafficking, and all that in sanctuary cities.
It's very
right
real. It's very real, Raj. I mean, and you're in an area that I will guarantee people is very real, in Northern Virginia, where there is that that element of, one, the MS-13 element, that community that came in through Central America that's been infected by that horrible gang, if you want to call it that. The human trafficking element, both of the kind of slave labor side and the even more disturbing of the sexual side of it, including minors. So again, it very serious. I understand your anger about it, that we have these cities that have called themselves sanctuary cities and in fact have turned themselves into cities infested with crime and cities where you can't be, your children aren't necessarily safe. Let's go back to the phones. Take as many calls as we can. 1-800-684-3110. I think we can get to the final calls of the day. Now let's go to William in Georgia. William, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Hey, Jordan, how you doing?
We're good, William.
You know, I pretty much got my own opinion about this, but I'm going to keep that to myself. But I'm gonna ask this just as an advocate of somebody that's just giving the Democrats the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Do they even realize that what they're doing is actually undermining what the vast majority of American people want as far as the border wall, or they just don't care?
I think I'll go to Than Bennett on this. I think their base, they saw victories in the House especially. Their base doesn't want the wall. Now, the American people, they do want the wall. I think that's why when you look at 2020, President Trump looks pretty good on reelection efforts at this point. A lot can change in 2 years, but now we've got candidates announcing. We're talking about that now. The truth is that the American people do want border security. They do want the wall. And I think that they wish it wasn't so politically charged.
Jordan, I would answer that question by giving you the names of the four Democrats that are going to the White House Situation Room today. Nancy Pelosi from San Francisco, Steny Hoyer from Maryland, Chuck Schumer from New York, and Dick Durbin from Illinois. Jordan, I think Democrat voters, if you get more broad than that, actually support more robust national security. But the leadership inside the Democrat Party is pandering to the hard left base of those four regions. I don't think there's going to be representation in the room today from the broader Democrat base. And I think Nancy Pelosi is more concerned about locking down the votes she needs for her speakership. Her constituency, remember now, Jordan, her constituency is the members of the House of Representatives inside the Democrat Party. It's not nationwide Democrats. So I think if you broadened it out, I think Democrats would be on board with President Trump on this. But those four Democrat members, elected officials here in Washington, D.C., Jordan, they're against money for the wall at all costs.
Hey, William, you're still on the air with us, right?
Yes, sir.
Hey, William, I just want to wish you a happy birthday. Our producer let me know that's your birthday today. And a happy birthday. You're always a great caller with great information. Hang on the line. I want to make sure you may have gotten the books before, but let's get William as many of the books as we can. The latest books by my dad, signed by him, to William for one being a great caller and calling in on his birthday in the new year. So thank you. We appreciate you, William. Always great commentary out of Macon, Georgia, from William. Let's go to Holly calling in from Texas on line 6. Holly, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Holly, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd just like to continue to encourage people to continue to support President Trump in this furlough, to continue to stand behind him until he gets at least some money for the wall, because that is the most important thing. I'm a federal worker, and I'm going through the furlough, and I know I can't speak for everyone, but I would rather continue to go without my pay. And I know in the past we will always get repaid, but right. Even if it came down to the point, at least I'm in a position, I know I can't speak for everyone, but sure. If I had to even go without pay for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I believe that it's much more important for our country. And I also wanted to make the point that many people don't realize that federal workers, I know the media was trying to stir up the fact that in the beginning of the year in January, President usually gives any president always gives federal workers a 2-point or something percentage, a small percentage of a raise. And this year, President Trump has decided not to do that because it's not good for the economy. And I, for one, agree. I believe as a federal employee that we are so blessed as federal workers. And I think people should take a step back and realize as federal workers, that we should not complain. I'm not speaking for everyone, but I've heard a lot of people at my workplace complain that we get, as federal workers, not only do we get paid holiday, have more paid holidays, more sick leave, more kinds of benefits than most other employees
you
get.
You do. I mean, and Holly, I really appreciate your patriotism. I think you are a patriotic federal worker, and it'd be great to have more federal employees like you who understand that your job is a duty working for the federal government in whatever capacity that is, because you're working for the American people. And two, that it is oftentimes incredible jobs. It comes with incredible benefits that are very difficult to get. So, again, standing with the president, that is the message of the day. Will the American people generally continue to stand with the president? We'll talk about it tomorrow. See what develops on Jay Sekulow Live.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.